Are you still coming to do a road trip in Texas? I've been thinking about you a lot. I've been thinking about as I told you over text, it's peak Portland right now, and there's so much going on that I would just love to show you. I think you would really dig. Mm. And so it just got me thinking about how you are coming. Well, you had been planning to come back to the States.
Yeah.
And I was curious what was going on with that.
I think at the moment we have sort of, I mean, financially it's not at all.
Completely understand.
Not even in. I can't even begin to save for it.
Yeah.
I was hoping that situation would be different when I made the original plan.
Yeah, you need to win another game show.
Mm-hmm. And also, I don't think I want to set foot in America right now.
Oh, shit. Yeah, okay.
America doesn't deserve us.
No, it does not.
And not the way it treats foreign nationals at the moment. So,
God. I don't even know what's happening, and I know that it's...
Yeah. It's not... I mean, the horror stories have stopped, but that doesn't necessarily mean they aren't still happening. It's just the news cycle has moved on, because it's no longer news that ICE is overstepping its authority.
Mm.
You know, I mean, hey, here in the UK, we're overstepping, our government's overstepping its authority by banning, that's a different story. but so, yes, there are currently no plans to visit the States, which makes me sad.
Yeah, that's very fair, though.
Yeah.
I get it.
But there will be, you know, there will, as was once said in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, there will be... what was the line? There will someday be lemon-scented towels, or whatever they were, clean-up towels, because there was a Starliner that had been kept in stasis for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years because the AI was awaiting lemon-soaked paper napkins. That was the phrase. And as soon as they got their consignment of lemon soaked paper napkins, they were going to fly. But until then, there will be a short delay. And they would bring people out of stasis every 10 years. And this was going on for hundreds of years, if I remember rightly. So, yes, there will come a day. The statistical likelihood is that there will be lemon soaked paper napkins. And that there will also be a time for me to visit the United States.
Nice. Was that a reference from Hitchhikers?
Yes.
Or was that? Yeah.
Yes.
So that reminds me. So last year, you came from my delightful birthday party rave.
Dude.
And next year, or this year, I'm planning on hosting another party, but not birthday themed. Mm-hmm. This time it'll be like a New Year's dance party is more what I'm going for this time. And then next year will be my 42nd. And so I was thinking about doing a Hitchhiker's themed rave of some sort. And I don't know. Just thought I'd share that with you. That's all I have so far.
Yeah. Well, Hitchhikers and sort of clubs don't mix very well because there is a scene in the second radio play. I can't remember if it made it into the book. It may have done. Where Zaphod Beeblebrox gets zapped into a disco.
Perfect.
And it's horrible. And there's nozzles spraying the smell of hot sweat over everything. And there's robot, like fembots, that keep shouting at him and his companion to dance and to enjoy the music.
Dance!
Yeah.
Enjoy the music!
You must dance. You must dance and have a good time. Yeah. And it turns out that it was all just part of Zaphod Beeblebrox's torture. It was all stuff to torture him to make him think he'd escaped his torture. I know a lot of Hitchhikers.
It sounds like the good place.
Yeah. Yeah, except he wasn't having it. So yes, in many respects, because he wasn't having a good time, it is very much like the good place.
Aw, poor Zaphod.
I know. Well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He came out of it out of his torture thinking he's pretty hot shit. Which is not a million miles away from where I'm getting to at the moment with one therapy session after another.
Oh boy. tell me about it. Actually, I had a thought about last week's share of your therapy, but also I would love to hear how it's progressing.
Yeah, it was one of those sort of sessions where we were both like, "What are we picking around here? We don't really know." But it sort of ended with I had a quite interesting thought, and it's to do with, and it I haven't been able to fully articulate it yet, but there's something in my mind about, there's a few things that we've discussed before that are coalescing, to use the language that will be familiar to us, there is the question of what are you doing to make yourself more interesting and attractive?
Okay.
Not in the sense of from a dating perspective or anything like that, sure. But one of the things we've also talked about is how, and this actually came up when I was in Brighton recently, and Danny, my friend, was, taking me to task over something that I'd said. I'd made a joke, and then sort of did what I sometimes do, which is sort of be like, I'm just a little boy. Like... I didn't. No one heard me, and it's like no. Like you did a joke, and it was rude, or it was whatever, sure. And it was the joke that was intended. Caustic or whatever, and it's. But then I'm like, who me? And yeah, not innocent, even in yeah. like not even as like knowing as that, but just almost like I do. I genuinely forget the things that I do and say
affect
have
other people.
An effect.
Yes. Yes, hard or late.
And so I'm a few of those things are in the tumble dryer of my mind, and it all kind of started last night. I got some new shoes. Ooh. So and they're arriving tomorrow, and I cannot wait because
diamonds on the soles of his shoes,
or at least durable rubber.
Ooh, that sounds
not diamonds,
even better.
Moccasins.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, turns out moccasins are my shoe.
Nice.
And because the internet's a terrible place, I ended up finding a Google search that asked, are moccasins cultural appropriation?
Great question.
Christ. God. Maybe for you, they are not. I don't know. Anyway. So strange. Like, I just thought they were a type of shoe rather than a cultural statement, but hey ho.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I think as always, correct me if I'm wrong. I think.
Oh, are we done?
I think.
Go on.
It's just, if you call them. I mean, I don't even. I'm so speaking out of my depth. I don't even know. Do indigenous tribes call them moccasins, or did white people call them moccasins based off of whatever they called them? I don't know. And then it's just a shoe, like a leather shoe. Like it's just like if they don't have a patent on the design of a shoe, so if we have a different name for them and they're just a kind of a different thing, they're the white man's version of it. Then that's not.
No, it's like
we're just people
with way too much time on their hands.
Yeah,
on this one, and it also smacks of like when Italians will complain about something being like that's not a correct carbonara, that's not a proper carbon, like or that's not what a spaghetti bolognese really is because it wasn't you weren't using the right heirloom tomatoes from this village in Tuscany, all that absolute cultural. Gatekeeping bullshit.
Gatekeeping, yeah.
Anyway, so my shoes are racist title. So it basically this came about because for the last 4 or 5 years, I've just been buying like cheap shoes. And this is also very Hitchhiker's related, because there's a whole thing about shoes. Because everything is... Anyway. So I've been buying these cheap shoes, cheap pair after cheap pair after cheap pair, and the soles just won't withstand my significant presence.
Sure.
And so they
Your undeniable presence.
My undeniable, indefatigable impact on the earth.
Yes.
And they just, they disintegrate, and then I get wet feet in the rain. Mm-hmm. And it's always from the, you know, from the sole up, and it's just like, ah. And there's a very particular feeling when one feels that one is not adequately
shod,
adequately sort of taking care of oneself in that sense.
Yeah,
looking after themselves and like making sure that, yeah, they're comfortable, but also like, you know, I'm not going to accidentally tread on something sharp and it's going to go through the sole.
Yeah.
And, you know, feeling in a position to not do that and always feeling like, well, all I can really afford is just, I've just got to go and get these shoes and then I'll just wear these until they wear out, which is in a matter of months because everything's cheap and not made very well.
Yeah.
And I finally decided last night, after a complex and disappointing day, that I was finally going to say, oh, yeah, because I got rejected by the British Podcast Awards and it made me real sad.
Oh, dude.
Sadder than I thought. I was surprised by how sad it made me. And I just one of those days. And so I ended up looking back through my Amazon my Amazon orders, because I was like, I remember buying a pair of shoes in 2017 that were like the shoe, like they were just perfect. I got it right. I happened to have got it right back in 2017, and I wore these motherfuckers until they were filthy to look at because they got because they were suede. They got like completely knackered in the snow, and so they just looked. But the soles, they kept a ticking. I probably could have taken them to a place, but anyway. And I managed to find like, what is this type of shoe? And I started a conversation with ChatGPT, like, what do you recommend? And then I was like, no, hang on. I don't really care what ChatGPT recommends.
Mm-hmm.
These shoes were so comfy, and I walked the length and breadth of Manhattan in them, and it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And just all the stuff. And so I managed to find the like new version now that looks like as close to the original, or as close to the ones I had before. And so they are on order and they're coming tomorrow. And I think that will make a big difference because A, my feet are going to stop hurting, I think.
Awesome.
I'm going to be able to do a lot more walking.
Great.
And be comfortable and happy doing so. Because I don't mind walking, but not when it hurts all the time.
Yeah.
And I won't have shoes with holes in them, and they will look, you know, they're a shoe for all, for most occasions. And I could probably just buy loads of them. And so that was last night. And then I had this conversation with my guy today, talking about this idea of like hiding from the world and, and that whole, I'm just a little boy. Like, you can't hold me responsible for things that I do and say. And not because I want to hide, not because I don't want to be responsible, but because I don't see myself as someone who counts. Like, what do you mean?
Same.
Like, why were you paying attention to the thing I said? I don't count.
Right.
I don't, like, I'm not one of the main ones. Like, don't worry about what I say. I don't count.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what gets me into trouble sometimes, where it's like I'll have a conversation and I'll say it. And someone, I had this lovely chat with one of the members of the singing group. She told me a couple of weeks ago, she was like, you said something to me when we first met, and it had me spiraling for hours, like, and I'd like almost losing sleep over it.
Wow.
And I was like, you know, but I'm just a little.
Sure.
And she, you know, we went through this thing, and it was just like, oh yeah, I mean, like, I'm out in the world now, interacting with human beings every week. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you know, and I'm sure the listener, you know, like, I'm not a careless person. I don't just walk around the world just like, bah! You know, just saying stuff and just like, don't care what happens. I just don't necessarily, it's like, and I don't know how you feel with this, and at some point I'll let you speak, about like when, if you're invited to parties and you don't want to go. Nice. Oh. Sorry?
I said, that sounds nice.
Oh, that sounds nice. Let's say hypothetically.
Yeah. And I don't want to go.
Yeah. Okay. It can be very easy because you're like, well, mm-hmm. I won't be, like, the, it's yeah. not that they were just inviting me to be nice. Like, no. Sure, they'd be happy if I were there. But, yeah. like, I'm not integral. The party wouldn't be any worse if I weren't there. I'm not one of the main ones. Like, I don't really, you know, I'm making up the numbers or whatever.
Sure. Yep.
And I don't know, man. I don't know about that. And so there's that. And then we got into this thing about, like, he used the word contract. And it got something in my, like, almost a sort of social contract. And it got something in my head about, because we were talking about what I deserve and what I expect from the world and what is mine to ask of the world or from the world. And because I got into a whole thing about, you know, past experiences and like I didn't deserve that treatment or whatever.
Yeah.
And then what do you deserve? And it's like, you know, even silly things like I might deserve the recognition of an award, but that doesn't mean I should expect one because lots of people lots of people work really hard on their stuff and there's only so many awards to go around.
Yeah.
So you might deserve recognition for the work that you do, but you shouldn't expect it because there's lots of people who, you know, and it's that weird delta between the two sometimes of what we just, you know, I deserve to be loved and to have, I think I deserve affection and those various things, you know, someone to hold dear, someone to hold close.
Yeah.
But expecting it is a different thing. Feeling entitled to it is a different thing. And then we get back to what are you doing to make yourself more interesting and attractive?
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm cresting to a point here.
I can feel it brewing.
There is something about if you're going to feel into this sense of like I'm a whole ass person, and I am someone who has an affect on the world. I think that might be the effect either way. I also have a I don't know if responsibility is the right word, but it is, I think, to some degree, and I think you may you may disagree or you may differ on this one. I don't know. I think there is a social or something, a kind of a contract in how we present ourselves. Because if I'm coming at the world and saying, right, world, I want these things from you. I deserve them. I demand them.
Mm-hmm.
That also means, and like, as I did that, I sort of straightened my back and I sat, you know, I kind of sat up straight and I sort of looked a bit more determinedly into the camera as I said that.
Mm-hmm.
There is something about presenting oneself in that way as like coming as someone like, you know, dress for the job you want. Like there's something about presenting oneself in a way that is commensurate with someone who expects better. So there's maybe, expecting better of yourself or presenting yourself as someone who, I don't know, like, as you can tell, like I can't fully form that, but I know there is something there. There is almost a mirror idea of like, the world expects things of you, maybe, you know? And you have a responsibility, you have a standing. There is something that, like, it's not good enough to just bum around in a, you know, t-shirt that you got on Instagram, mm-hmm. And a pair of jeans that have got stains and stuff. It's because, like, because ultimately I'm kind of cringing from the universe and hiding yeah. away, and like don't look at me because I'm terrified to be seen. Actually, yeah. maybe that's what it is. Actually, mm-hmm. what it is in order
you're
to go
fulfilling the role that you're already thinking.
Sorry,
you're fulfilling the role you're already thinking that you are in. You're dressing yourself in things that are dirty yes. and you want to hide with because yeah. you already feel like you're dirty and want to hide.
Yes. Yes, and it self-perpetuates, absolutely. Yeah. Like with the shoes, it's,
yeah.
well, this is probably just what I deserve.
Right.
You know, this is all I can manage right now, and it's, you all feel very dour, and this is, I'll sort of mm-hmm. scurry along like a hunched back little old man who's, you know, mm-hmm. yeah. Shit, I had the thing. I had the sort of the metaphor, the idea there mm-hmm. about, if you want things of the world,
mm-hmm.
oh shit, what was it? Oh, I was so close to it.
You got to dress the part. You got to act a certain way.
There's dressing the part. There's, oh yeah, okay. If you're going to present yourself as making, for want of a better phrase, demands on the world and saying, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. I'm here and I want this stuff because I work hard and I deserve it and you know, yada, 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 or I'm manifesting yeah. it or whatever.
Yeah.
You also need to not hide... fuck. Oh, fuck, I keep... It's so tenuous. Mm-hmm. It's a very thin thread. Okay. If I'm coming at the world saying, if I'm making those demands, then that means being seen.
Mm.
Because you are saying,
there you go.
Look at me. Mm-hmm. I deserve shit.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me. I exist. Listen to me. Look in my direction.
Yeah.
I am here.
Yeah.
And I mm-hmm. deserve, mm-hmm. you know, certain things. I deserve to be treated a certain way.
Yeah.
I, you know, not like a princess, but like, you know, I deserve a standard and I deserve to be able to call, you know, people out if they don't meet a decent standard. And all of that requires being seen.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And I think what I'm thinking of now is, well, if you are going to be seen, if you are demanding almost that you are being seen, then it's time to fucking put some clothes on.
Mm.
Or some grown-up clothes on.
Yeah.
Or at least a shirt.
Yeah.
There you go. That was a long way around to it. But that, I think, is my thesis.
You have to be seen. That's really fascinating. The point. Yeah, that brought up a couple thoughts for me. And I don't think I disagree. I thought about apple picking and I thought about To Be Magnetic. And you mentioned the manifestation of it, like that's a part of their, you know, kind of structure, is that you move your mind and your body and your soul into the position that you want to feel deserving of, so you feel deserving of it so that it actually comes and you get what you deserve, and so that's all really, I think, related and interesting, and I'm still trying to do that, of course. Not the TBM side of it, but the, you know. But then that also made me think of the apple picking, because, like, my intention with that was to not be seen. and also it ties back into how you started, which was feeling like my actions don't matter. Like, I'm insignificant. Like, what does it matter that I did that? Like...
No one will remember. No one's really watching.
Exactly. Yeah.
And not in the like we're all insignificant kind of way. Right. No, me are, but like
obviously yeah. not. There's people. I see other people. Those people yeah, obviously matter.
I do too.
Yeah.
Going about their weird lives uh-huh. as if they've got like their own separate motivations and stuff.
Yeah.
It's weird.
What the fuck are they doing?
Scurrying around.
Messing.
Like they've got
up.
A home to go to.
Mm-hmm.
TV to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, yeah, that's it's a bit terrifying.
Oh.
It doesn't have to be, but it as somebody ooh. Who likes to not be seen, well, has found comfort in not being seen. I typically get kind of like a reaction with the person who in your choir who took to heart something that you said. I'm often surprised and a little bit like taken aback when somebody's
like quotes you or something. Or
yeah,
absolutely.
It's like, whoa, like, wait, I made an impact.
This was on.
Holy shit, that's not
this
normal.
Wasn't meant to be on.
Oh man. Yeah, and you know what? Oh, yeah, I don't get that feeling very often. So it comes as quite a surprise. Typically, I feel like if it was, I would get more used to it if it was more common. So you know, people out there, give me the recognition, then I'll act more normal when I don't know.
I want my
always blame others. Yeah,
I want my kudos.
Yeah,
give me my plaudits.
Yeah, I love that. Be seen.
Yeah. So
and how much does that? How does that? What's So there's a mindset of allowing yourself to be seen by others, but does that also apply inward? Do you need to see yourself in some way too?
Oh, now you see, I have.
Or do you feel like you do that too much already?
Yeah, I have Sauron's eye when it comes to my insides.
Yeah.
But not much of a one for the outsides.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you feel like
it,
you don't see others?
Yeah, exactly.
Part
of it
saying?
Is like mm-hmm. I don't. I mean. Like if I definitely am judgmental about certain things people wear because I'm like, well, that looks dumb.
sure.
Or there's certain patterns or styles that I'm like, well, that's dumb. But like, I don't think about people's shoes.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. But yeah, like I don't know, man. People judge people, and
yeah.
I'm not thinking about this because I think a lot of it for me came from, well, I'm always going to be kind of judged anyway, and I'm judging myself as whatever. So like what it like my whole mode of dress mm-hmm. has always been, what the fuck does it matter?
Yeah, like, sure. Okay, like, so I have a thing about that a little
okay.
bit. And as I could be wrong. Let's end this all the time. Let's just continually end the show. This is a bit of Enneagram wisdom that I am understanding to the best of my ability. You know, living through my own singular experience and trying to relate that to how a 9 is described and how all the other numbers are described and seeing the differences. And what I love about the Enneagram is that it describes different people's internal worlds, describes the motivations, and describes how different we all are. And it, you know, it simplifies it into 9 categories that can be subdivided into 3 categories and another 2 categories. And so there's hundreds of different possibilities, but you can kind of get the broad strokes simply in a 9 spoke system. And one of the things about a 9 is that they, you know, the nice way to put it is that they see all sides. They can kind of understand people's perspectives and have compassion for different thought patterns and different actions and everything. The shift of that, the the different side of that same coin is that nines judge. Nines, you know, take in all that information, but have an opinion about it. And they don't necessarily share that opinion, but internally they do judge. They judge people for what they're wearing, doing, anything.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily affect anything that they do. They just notice, they feel it on the inside. That language is not really used for other numbers. In fact, for the five, it's the opposite. They can also kind of see all sides. They see both sides is kind of how it's described, but they do not take a judgment. They do not have an opinion on which is right. They're really neutral. They're incredibly neutral. And I think that, you know, maybe that's the other extreme is the five from the nine, but the rest of them are all in the middle. They can see things, and sure, they'll judge things, but that's not their mode. And if that's true, you and I coming at the world as nines, knowing our inner world where we do judge and where it doesn't affect anything, but if we still judge, and we're assuming that everybody else is judging too because we judge, and that's all we know is on our own minds. Why would they not also be judging? Because we're judging. But not everybody's the same on the inside. Just so fucking weird. But yeah, that makes me wonder. And so taking that mindset into the world and thinking, well, everybody's judging me anyway. I wonder if that's true. I don't know. I think maybe only 1/9 of people are really judging you.
Yeah. I suspect, like you said, I think there are people who will judge, but it's what then happens as a result of that.
Yeah.
Do they, you know, what do they do with that judgment?
Yes.
Do they just throw it aside and go, oh, that person looks scruffy.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Right.
Or do they go, well, that person looks scruffy, therefore they probably don't have great attention to detail, which feels like something you and I might perhaps do.
Sure.
But yeah, like I think lots of people are going to be like, that guy's got a stain on his shirt, you know, but not necessarily then think, yeah, something else.
Yeah, again, we kind of have an if-then situation going on, and they just notice like, oh, thing, and don't necessarily take it to, oh, well, that might mean something about them. Yeah. And we kind of notice, and we're more a bit more analytical, and it can be a detriment that we're like, oh, well, if this, then that.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm more and more interested in the sort of outward, I don't know, in like, yeah, kind of coming correct, not just coming convenient, but actually, you know, putting on a bit of a show.
I like that.
Because I know, like, it's one of those things. You look good. You feel.
Yeah.
You know, you tend to feel better.
I want to see Mark in a snazzy, like, 3-piece suit, like, all buttoned up and fucking tight. And
I did want to do the whole, like, I thought quite almost, because I love a cloth cap, and there's a really good, so there's a comedian here called Johnny Vegas, and when he did the TV show Taskmaster, his sort of outfit was this, like, full, and he's a big gentleman, big beard as well, cloth cap, full 3-piece kind of tweedy kind of suit.
Yeah, that was what I was imagining on
with like little watch chain. Little pocket watch chain. I like that a lot. I should ask, I haven't tried this yet, but I should ask our friend Chad, because I actually did, so we don't have Stitch Fix here,
but there
was a similar service, and back in 2019 I actually got into it, and it's like, because it can give you advice about your, you know, what colors and what kind of things work well with your body type and that kind of stuff. So things that are going to be, you know, flattering or whatever. And I think it would be, because I have no fucking clue. Like, you know, I didn't know what a moccasin was. And now I do.
Now you know it's
like,
racist. Okay. Yeah.
Now I know it's A, racist, and B, it's absolutely my shoe. It's my shoe.
My shoe.
So, you know, I just like so many of those things. I don't know. Like, people talk about different types of sneakers and various things. I have no earthly idea.
Yeah.
Because I don't look at shoes. You know what I mean? It's like I just don't. It's not that I don't care. It's just it hasn't occurred to me, you know. And so, I really know nothing about clothes, but I should like to, I'm the kind of, like, I want a style. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Because it just, it takes away, like, I don't have to do the whole uniform thing, but knowing what your style is then makes it a lot easier to go, well, it's you know, it's that type of pant, and it's this type of shirt, and away we go.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin Smith, he, you know, before losing the weight and after losing the weight, hockey jersey, shorts, that's it. Like, and the hockey jersey changes and the shorts change, but it's hockey jersey and shorts.
Yep, for sure.
And I kind of like that, just, you know, finding your template. I think is quite nice. And also, there is a thing about, like, I don't know how it was for you, but there were so many people making so many jokes during the pandemic about doing Zoom calls basically in their undercrackers.
Right. Yeah.
And I never did. And I think that's partly because I'm used to working from home. And so, like, for the most part, I'd put something on. You know, it's very rare that I'm you know, every now and again, I might have sat here with a t-shirt on and my underpants on a very warm day. But never when I was, like, never on a work day. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I'm working. You know, this is the job that I go to. But that was a mode that people went into. So there is still a part of me that's like, I don't know that I want to wear stuff for slobbing around the house. Like, there's a part of me that wants to actually kind of come, you know, decent. Because, like, the other little piece of this is I was thinking, like, the fucking state of my shoes yesterday, another pair of shoes that I was on, that I was, like, they're the one pair of shoes that are, like, if I'm going to walk anywhere, they're just about manageable. But they are ragged and they've got a big hole in them and it's just a mess. And it's like, it's fine because, again, like, no one's looking. But what if, you know, like, I live in a small, you know, comparatively small city and I'm now meeting more people. What if someone that I meet on a regular basis would just, you know, to rock up and be like,
what's up with your shoes,
are you okay? Like, has something awful happened to you? You know, and you know, it's those things as well. It's the you know, it's someone coming to your door unexpected and thinking, well, shit, the place is covered in, you know, shit, because I wasn't expecting anyone to be here, and like, whatever, like, I don't care, but. Caring, having those standards, think, and
God, it feels
for
so
me
much...
it was mixed in with a lot of self-judgment of, well, you've got to, like, it's just all like finger wagging and all that kind of bullshit, but actually viewed from the through the lens of when it helps you get a better sort of self-image and you know, see what is possible and or see to believe kind of thing. Because you are fully living into that life rather than it being an outer shell that you put on when you know you're going to meet someone who might judge you. When it's sort of when you inhabit that, when you live it a little bit more authentically. Wow, there's some words. I don't know, that's there's something to that.
Yeah, I relate both with the like I see it with the clothes. I've also been on a little bit of the beginnings of a quest to start changing my attire as well, to level up a little bit. I did level up, I feel like, maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, and it felt good, but I'm still wearing those same clothes. I didn't yeah. continually get new good clothes. I just kind of got a new set, and then I've been wearing them to rags.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, solve that problem.
And also, they're nicer looking, but they're what's that? Fast fashion a little bit. Yeah. They're not like it's not H&M, but it's, you know, it's Men's Warehouse, so it's mm-hmm. close.
Close enough,
and they're just falling apart, and they're meant to. They're not meant to be washed very often.
No.
Which is great, because I don't wash my clothes very often, but I just rotate them.
Yeah.
But what you also mentioned about like people coming over surprisingly and like the state of the house, like that's also a big factor I've noticed for me, is like keeping the house clean really changes how you feel in your own, especially if you're at home a lot. Like being in a good environment makes such a difference mentally for how you're feeling and how you feel about yourself. And you know, if one felt like they had a kind of a trashy, dirty house, there's going to be a low level anxiety of, yeah, what if somebody pops in? What if my mom comes over? What if a dear friend comes over and they're going to see this is the pile of shit I'm living in?
Yeah.
Like,
and just because it doesn't bother you, or because you're used to it, or you don't see it, because you're just like, you know, it's there, and you'll get round to it when it becomes a problem or whatever. Right. It's like,
I know people are going to come over in a week and a half. Mm-hmm. Then I will clean. Mm-hmm. And like, it always feels good to do that deep clean before people come over. I'm like, yeah, this is going to rock. Like, they're going to love this house. Mm-hmm. And then they come over and they do, and I get all excited about it. But like, it's also great to just keep living in that clean. Like, I always try to keep it rolling when that happens. And I try to like schedule something happen in here at least once a month so I can do that deep clean.
Nice.
So that it keeps going. But then, you know, ideally, there's a little bit of daily work, there's a little bit of weekly work, and apply that to your own body too. Yeah, that sounds good. I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
And I think doing so, I'm slowly forging a better relationship with myself.
I love that.
And being able to do these things from a place of love and a place of acceptance and a place of help and health in the best possible sense. Like the Alan Watts thing that I sent to you earlier, because I just started listening to You're It.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
One of these things I just wrote down because I just liked it. The fool who persists in his folly will become wise. I didn't know what to do with that, but I just wrote it down. After listening to Mr. Watts, I ended up writing a little thing about, it's kind of an untidy note, but like something about my sense of being less than.
Mm.
And where disability has come into that, and finding a reframe for it. And it was really interesting, like viewing a disability as like, might I be permitted to read this untidy thing that I wrote? It's a little, it's fairly short, but it maybe articulates better. It starts in quotes, "I'm not disabled, I have a disability" is useful because the identity can be one of lack, meaning we view ourselves as lesser than human. But I am a full human. I also have a condition that means my eyes don't work as well as they might for others. I am not that condition. I am a full person with extra interesting bits, not deficiencies, extra challenges which I overcome on a daily basis and of which most people will have no idea. We don't have disabilities. We have challenges. We have challenges we wrestle with on a daily basis. Sometimes we win, sometimes we don't. We are therefore more than, not less than. We are stronger and more capable, more resilient, more aware than most. disability is not a quote-unquote gift, and we don't have to celebrate it. It's not easy, and it's usually not something anyone would choose. But it's not a chip off our block. It's an extension. So thinking about it as an augmentation, and you know, even just the subtle change in language from "I am visually impaired" to "I have a visual impairment." It's, you know, people have talked about it for a long time, but I think they're thinking about it just in terms of not having it as an identity. And I'm sort of going a little bit further because I've had this, and I think a lot of people don't, but I've had this, you know, poisonous idea about disability meaning there's a chip missing. There's a bit of me missing.
Yeah.
There's a bit of me, you know, that is lesser. And actually trying to view it as, no, there's a bit of me that's more. Because these are the things that I overcome on a daily basis. These are the things to which I will not be held hostage. And this is the 110% that I give. I don't know. It felt like
that's,
yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. There is a lot there. I like that a lot. And it makes me think about, cause I definitely don't have the same, extensions that you do.
Challenges, I think, is a good word for it.
Yeah, but I've had my own challenges, and I've thought of them in different ways, and not usually in a way that, like, yeah, it took more effort for me because of this challenge or with this challenge, and now I'm conditioned to that. Like, I've been swinging the bat with these weights on it, so when I go up to the plate, I'm going to swing the bat, and it's going to feel lighter, and it's going to be easier to hit that home run. I like that reframing a lot. Now I have a question for you.
Ooh.
Because I have known you to say that you will not be fooled by your own bullshit. This, while I completely co-sign and love what you just said, it is very similar to just changing the words and changing how we think about it and how we say about it and that kind of thing to feel better about it. And that's also what we do with positive affirmations and that kind of thing as well. It's a similar area. And I'm just positing that to see what your reaction is.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Dance monkey.
What I'm thinking of there is, I can't inherit a belief from someone else's words. I need to find it for myself, I think.
Yes. And the best positive affirmations are ones that you create your own and not just a list of things that I am good. I am.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
But I also think, and this is where I don't know that I fully, it may be that I don't understand positive affirmations, or it might be that I still don't think they work, is that a positive affirmation for me, when I think about what that means, it means this is something that I hope to be true. This is something I want to be true. So I'm going to keep saying it until such time that it becomes true. And that's what I mean by not falling for my own bullshit, because I don't believe it.
Yeah.
And the idea is that you're supposed to believe it after a certain amount of application.
Sure. I understand it a bit more as it already is true.
Yeah.
And I don't believe it, and therefore I need to tell myself and remind myself and create that new neural pathway to bring myself over to seeing it. Oh, it actually is true.
Mm-hmm. But how can you... You're speaking to a duality there.
Okay.
Of like, I know it's true, but I don't believe it.
Yeah.
So which one is it?
It's true. I am good. It is true. I don't always believe it. And I haven't believed, I went through a long time of not believing that. But it did help me see it.
Mm.
And maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I wasn't always good. Maybe I'm not good now. But I feel like I'm good. And that feels better.
Well, I'm not going to take that away from you.
Try. Take it from my living, cold, warm hands.
Well, there was something in the Alan Watts about... Oh, there's that lovely line that I think he was quoting from someone else, is that anyone who goes to see a psychiatrist needs their head examined. Yeah, such a wonderful, that. Wonderful
it's
line.
Perfect. Yeah.
Because he was talking about gurus and such.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you need a guru to guide you, then you absolutely need a guru to guide you.
Yeah.
But you don't need one because the gurus told you that you need one.
Right.
And I think that's an area where I think fallen foul. And it's probably why I'm uncoachable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm therapable, but I'm not coachable. Mm-hmm. And that's probably not true. I haven't responded to coaching in the same way that I've responded to therapy.
Yeah.
And there are some coaches, I think perhaps the majority of the ones that I've encountered have a tendency to, it's not a tendency. Like, they believe their thing. They believe their...
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about it in terms of God mode. Like, you've got to smell your own farts. Like, you've got to believe it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what the fuck are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And someone who needs that needs that. And someone who needs that should seek it. And someone who doesn't yet know, like, they've got to seek it within themselves to find out, like, would this be helpful or not? But it's not helpful to get a sales pitch necessarily from a guru who's then going to say, well, you need this, because mm-hmm. I think you have to find that out for yourself. And if you find out that you do need this, then you should absolutely go and seek it out. But if you examine yourself and go, no, I think I've got a good path actually of where I'm going,
mm-hmm.
then that's where you're going, because you are already, as the thing I said sent to you earlier, like, I'm not here to try and change or fix you, because I'm not trying to help or improve you. I accept you as you are.
Yeah.
Which is, I know, something you've paraphrased to me a number of times.
Yeah.
And again, like, you can say those things, but only at certain, like, you can keep flinging those as items of clothing over to me and I can put them on, but I won't feel comfortable in them. I can wear them and be like, yeah, I guess. But
what's the part that you're not comfortable with?
Like, if you say something, you know, when you've said, and yeah. I don't mean like it makes me uncomfortable, like, oh, don't say that. But like, sure. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
You are perfect, as you would say.
Yes, you are.
Like, that's nice that you say that.
You were perfect. You were loved. You were good.
Yeah. So like, you can throw that like a jacket over to me, and I can put the jacket on, and it's like, yeah, okay, here I am walking around in the jacket, but like, mm-hmm. it's not my jacket.
Not yet.
I've got to make the jacket to make the jacket for myself.
Yes.
And that's the thing. So I think that's where the difference is for me with this, is it's become, it was an idea that, I'm not out here saying that it's an original concept by any means. But there is, for me, a great importance in, and maybe it's arrogance, maybe it's something else, maybe it's the ego needing its thing, but I believe, I find it difficult to believe things that are presented to me by other people. I need able to find that myself.
Yes, I 100% agree. Yeah. Also, getting having outside confirmation or reflection from people you mm-hmm. trust goes a long way when you're on your own mm-hmm. path and journey, and you have somebody by your side that's saying like, yeah, you got this, you're doing great. I also see the effort you're making. It's great. It's awesome. Thank you. That is, you know, validating. Even though you're not going to be like, oh, okay, they said I'm great, now I'm great. That doesn't happen. You know, your therapist saying that, or your mom saying that to you, like, that's not going to change anything. For mm-hmm. it doesn't work on anybody. But having people reinforce that when somebody's already working on their own path.
That's the key word, I think.
Yeah.
Reinforce.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. You've got to build your own structure, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But you can absolutely get
outside. I like what you're building.
Reinforcements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like what you're building. Man, that sounds like an excellent place to wrap it up, but I want to touch on one little thing.
Yeah.
And actually, I think we fully got to what you were going to talk about for your therapy session this week.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. It was the, I finally was able to articulate, the idea of being seen.
Yeah.
And means turning the eye inwards.
Yeah. Well, kind of related to that. And this very well could just be chopped off the end. So,
okay. You
know, completely understand. And there's, as always, there's no judgment in any of this, or this is just thoughts, and it's like that prefaces it way poorly. That's
I
not.
Know. I already felt myself typing.
I saw it. I saw it anyway. Like,
yeah,
no,
I thought you probably would.
God damn it! That's the opposite.
Permission to speak freely.
Thank you. Granted. Did that wrong. last week.
Yes.
You told me about a shameful thought. A thing that shall not be named.
Unspeakable.
Unspeakable.
Yeah.
Love it. What I noticed from you sharing, like, from my perspective, everybody has a dark thought. Everybody has dark thoughts. Like, that's inherent. Man, oh, fuck. Ram Dass has an incredible song with East Forest called Dark Thoughts. I'll send you a link. It's so good.
He
goes into how he loves his dark thoughts, and it's it's so great. But what was funny to me, what I noticed afterwards, is that you named that there was a dark thought, that you were super shameful. It could never be named.
More than ashamed.
That it's
disturbed and upset by.
Yeah.
It was less the shame. It was more the, oh, I don't like the person who this is. Like, I'm worried about this person. This person's whatever. So
yeah. And so, not knowing what the thing actually is, my brain then goes to, okay, well, then what's the worst possible thing it could be?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what the thing is. It's, to me, it is the worst possible thing. The details don't matter. But then I'm thinking, oh, okay, you're thinking what I think is the absolute worst possible thing. And you know what? I still love you. I still love you. You're still perfect. You're still great. You're doing amazing. I love what you're building.
I just coughed directly into Roscoe's so mean to him. He gives as good as he gets. I can confidently say it's not the worst thing you can imagine.
I assumed it wasn't,
and I knew you wouldn't think it was. It was it is like there are way worse things.
One thing that also crossed my mind is like, have you ever seen, because the way you expressed it to me, or at least the way that I received it, was sure. like nobody else thinks this. This is bad, 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 or whatever.
As it turns out, there is a number, but it's a very small number.
There's a number.
There is a number, but it's a very, very small number.
Like, have you ever seen this depicted in film? Or have you ever seen, like, anybody write a thing? Like, have you ever seen anything anywhere where somebody has written about it or talked about it or whatever? Like, then obviously somebody has thought about it. Like, this is this is the thought
but
that
they're
exists.
Not the good guy.
It doesn't matter if they're the good guy or not. It just exists. And if it exists, then we're it's going to be thought about. And that's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. And as always, I'm not trying to help you or improve you. I accept you as you are. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Go Hawks, you see? Go Hawks.